Welcome back, my friends, to the Swiss Power, where IT leaders share the insight with other leaders and others that want to lead. My name is Carlos Vargas, and as in every week, I have my two co-hosts, Howard Holton and Paul Lewis.
Hello, hello.
Hello, 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 hello.
So wait, I didn't realize that.
Echo again.
You know, Howard, you got new glasses.
I did. These are the Ray-Ban Meta, whatever, AR glasses.
Those are the AR?
I mean, I think that's what they call them, but they have no display at all.
So how are you not augmenting anything?
They're cameras and microphones and audio. I quite enjoy them.
Any AI help at all? Because I saw some have something.
So they have Meta AI built in. It's not really built in, but you know, the feature is integrated. So you can do, like, you can activate it and say, like, hey Meta, what am I looking at? And it's supposed to identify the world around you and whatnot. It's a bit of a battery suck, so I really haven't spent a bunch of time digging into it. And it doesn't do things that I would find really interesting. Like, I can't look at a shelf. Like, I could take a picture of a shelf of things, like books as an example, and upload that to ChatGPT and say, hey, give me the titles of all the books in this picture, and it would do it. And I can't do that with the Meta AI, which would actually be useful. So I haven't really figured out how, like, where the usefulness of it kind of lies yet.
Right, it's just early, maybe. That feels like something that could be integrated.
Yeah, they're constantly making changes and updates to it. It was part of my buying into the Meta ecosystem with the Meta Quest VR headset.
Oh, cool.
Should we be buying a Meta phone and changing to a Meta laptop?
No. I've hit the limit on how much I can trust Meta to not totally mess with my stuff.
I see. Got it. So you don't put all your eggs in a single basket.
I try to avoid it, you know.
Right. So you're a multi-cloud fan versus a single cloud fan?
That is true. I'm a multi-cloud fan instead of a single cloud fan. Especially because Azure had two outages this week so far.
Right. Wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot of outages in 1 week, right? I think it was Monday. All the admin portals were down. And then yesterday, Entrada provisioning was down, which is a pretty big outage. I think it was a little rough for them this week. Not, you know, CrowdStrike rough, but yeah. You know, rough nonetheless.
Change management issues?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
I mean, yeah, probably. I didn't read the after action on them to know. But that tends to be what these things kind of are. I mean, at some point, the scale is so significant. I don't know how you do accurate testing, and some of it just falls apart based on the amount of kind of replication and replication delays that occur that cause problems, you know.
Mm-hmm. So with AI and outages, any interesting things in this last week? I've been out, I don't know how I survived, and my wife didn't say anything, but I did not touch a computer for a whole week.
Wow.
I have my phone, but I was just taking pictures and stuff like that, but I'm like, no video creation, no nothing for a week.
On what day did you start getting the shakes?
I actually, Sunday night to Monday, a little bit. So I had to do something a little bit on the iPad, and I tried, but I'm like, the internet too slow. So then I'm like, then when I arrive, I was up by probably like 5 o'clock in the morning. My first video was posted by like 9 o'clock in the morning, edited, ready to go.
So you haven't been watching my socials then? You haven't seen the 10 city tour I was just on?
Wait, 10 city tour?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
If you're watching, you would know.
Yeah, I was out. I was completely out.
I mean, I didn't pay any attention because I didn't see any of those cities being Denver. So I just was...
It was a Northeast U.S. tour. So it is true. That's important.
So what were you doing?
Quality time in Greenwich, Stanford, Providence, Philly, just outside Boston. I was doing a tour. I was on the Amtrak three times. That tells you something.
Wow, sounds painful.
I was tracking, I was flying, I was Ubering. It was a whole deal. I went as far as Chicago and as south as Boston. Kind of the major cities. And then we'll do the exact same. We started in Atlantic Canada. This is the east, likely southeast. We do central, we'll likely do west. This is going to be a large tour on what topic would you think it is? If you were to think of all the potential topics of events that we'd be speaking at, could you narrow it down to one?
AI?
AI is correct. Good call. Good call. You were thinking for a bit. You were mulling over a variety of topics, but AI is in fact correct. It was interesting. We've done, I don't know, we're at 10 or so, 12, I don't know. There's a lot. And certainly, you know, we have partners in the region and those partners bring in people. And you can tell from the participation at the content that they were like edge of their seats, right? What I was saying, sort of the pragmatic perspective of what it is, what it isn't, how you should think of it, where are the pitfalls, and if you wanted to attempt to do it, this is how I think you should do it. But more importantly, there was a lot of questions of, am I really that far behind? And is it true that others are doing it measured in days instead of months like I traditionally do it? And then of course, my response is, no, you're fine, right? Yes, there are edge cases of people with hundreds of ML models, but most don't. And yes, there are lots of edge cases where they're doing things in a week's time, but most are not, right? So it's helpful. My observation is that once people are in the room, they are keenly interested in the content because it's very pragmatic and practical. But getting people in the room has its challenges. Some of it's timing, right? But I think a lot of it is topic. And I don't know, Howard, Carlos, there's varying degrees of topics that we see in online events or physical events or even like massive conferences, just sessions. I struggle sometimes with the marketing topic name, the accuracy of a topic name, or the pull, right? The clickbait title. You know, I'm not sure which one's the most effective. Like, what are your thoughts just on this chat?
I mean, the clickbait is by far the most effective. Like, it's not even close how effective the clickbait is in comparison. The challenge overall, though, is clickbait is only clickbait if you don't meet the promise of the title. If you meet the promise of the title, it's not really clickbait.
Right.
Right. The reason we all get upset by it is because they go, you know, see this one trick that'll save you millions. And it's a very common thing that doesn't save anybody millions.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, the common thing to save you millions is, you know, don't have a building. Well, that's not really reasonable for everybody, you know, or some ridiculous piece of advice.
Sell your 30 properties. Okay. Right.
Like it's, you know, so how to save money owning a yacht. Don't own a yacht.
I was gonna say that's
actually pretty good advice. As someone that's owned many boats, that's pretty good advice. Boat means break out another 1,000.
So I'm finding that's also the definition of Jeep, by the way. But that's
just empty Jeep. Every pocket.
So I think that one of the details that with the launch of AI, of generative AI, because that's the other thing. We have had AI for a while, but when Gen AI came to the market, there had been so much disinformation. And I think that in one of the podcasts, I don't know if it was Howard or you, Paul, that mentioned that corporations then like were, okay, wait, there's too much. Is this true? No. Can I do it? Will it cost me too much? That I think that probably in the enterprise space, because it takes a lot more to implement the technology or the solution, some of them have gone, okay, will this be true? Is it real? versus when you look at the small businesses, they just say, okay, can I pay it for a month and try it? If it works, I use it. If it doesn't work, okay, I turn off the subscription. And I think that that's one of the big challenges that probably the enterprises are having, that when a leader goes or an executive go and see, oh, this is going to be an event, will that apply to me? Can I really leverage it? Or like you mentioned, will I be too off that I need to wait for someone to come and rescue us from this hole that we're in?
You could not be more spot on. That's 100% true. So when the people are in the room, I would group them into a mostly misinformed as a general philosophy. Yes, there are outliers in the room. People who are well-read have attempted, at least on the consumer side, trying some things, right? Or there's a bank in the room with $1 billion of IT budget and therefore have hundreds of people and tried lots of things, right? Those outliers exist. It's not most people in the room. Most people in the room, because of the news feeds they're getting, they're seeing, I gotta build something that it's easy to implement, my own enterprise LLM, that there's very little risk. That's the news feeds that they're receiving. So as I'm attempting to re-inform them of, you know, like the distinct difference between the consumer implementation of GPT and an enterprise implementation of GPT, how important it is to not just ground this as an example, but to put in pre-processing. In other words, is this an appropriate question to ask? And then a post-processing, is this an appropriate answer to give, right? Those are important in an enterprise setting, where way less important in a consumer setting, right? And I give them the weather network example. If you download the weather network app and they have a cool little Gen AI tool and you can ask it any question. You can say, what's the weather in New York tomorrow? Or do I need to wear rain boots? And it'll tell you. But it'll also answer any question as GPT would in the voice of Hulk Hogan, and it will. And people take snapshots of inappropriate questions and tweet them out. That's a problem, right? So you've got to think about what the real impacts are there. And I'm not sure, it's a combination of disinformed and misinformed, but I'm not sure which one is true, is mostly true. I don't know, Howard, are you seeing that too or else?
I mean, so there's an endemic, there's a few endemic issues that are going on. The first is there's blood in the water. And by that, what I mean is anytime consultants have the ability to make money off the problem, they're going to make money off the problem. Hmm. Right? Not the solution. Let's not get it wrong, right? The problem. Right? So you have an awful lot of, if I give you the solution tomorrow, the tap is turned off. Can I stretch the solutioning out an additional 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, make some money off of this? It's not ethical, but it happens constantly. Anyone that's ever been on the buyer side is going to recognize that as the song of their people, right? The song they're stuck with. Oh, crap. Do you hear the sirens in the distance? There's a consultant walking up. Right? Really, really frustrating. They're not all built that way, but that's one of the problems. The second is, while there are massive organizations that are able to move really, really quick and capitalize on this stuff really, really quick, I guarantee none of those organizations are capitalizing organization-wide. Mm. Right? They're capitalizing in very small, very targeted, very pointed ways where they can act with agility, with an attitude of move fast and break things. Because you just can't scale that way, because 51% of the organization is in leadership. 51% of the organization doesn't touch the thing.
Right.
Their job is to manage. And that's not how you move fast. That's not how you scale globally. You just cannot do it.
I love the tone of your voice when you say manage. That's a twing to it.
I didn't spit when I said it. I was very nice. Night of the devil. Right. Those two things combine to really create this level of kind of gridlock. So no, I'm not always going to get a straight answer. No, I'm not always going to get clarity. No, I'm not always going to get the things that allow me to have confidence that I can scale and build and grow. I have 800 stakeholders in global projects. You can't get through 800 stakeholders efficiently, effectively, quickly, and with good positive results, because 800 stakeholders also drive you to a level of kind of democratic mob rule that also brings you down to the lowest common denominator, not the exceptional.
Right.
Right. And so if your goal is to do those things and do them quickly, one, it's the onus is on you to educate, not for someone else to come in and be the holder of knowledge. Right. That doesn't mean you have to be an expert. Doesn't at all mean you have to be an expert, but you have to have a level of understanding to know what's real and what's not.
Right.
And until you get to that point, don't make a decision. Go get more information. Go talk to more and more and more people. Find more sources of information, more sources of kind of reality, and start putting them in boxes of, this doesn't actually sound deep enough. This actually doesn't sound like they really know what they're talking about. They keep repeating the same 7 buzzwords over and over again, right? They only talk about it one very specific way because they're speaking from rote rather than speaking from understanding. And then really think about, like, you have to be introspective about your organization, its maturity and capabilities, and be able to really hone in on what makes sense for my organization to actually do, to actually accomplish. What am I going to be able to get done? Right. And be really truthful and honest with yourself. And who are my people and where are they and what are their capabilities and what's their kind of maturity within the space? And then finally, this is a distraction right now. You're not, there's no way you're staffing completely within your organization to make this an organization-wide change. It's not affordable. It's also would be ridiculous. It's still a little too early to do that. So as a distraction, how much distraction can I afford? And what does that actually look like within my organization?
Yeah, again, you're just as spot on as Carlos. What I actually use the statement, you need to zoom out because you're way, way focused on building applications. And I understand why, because all of the things you're hearing from vendors, especially the hyperscalers, is here's an amazing tool set for you to build something cool. Enterprise search, chatbot.
Right, search, right, whatever it happens to be.
And my suggestion is, I think you're hyper focused on something when you really need to be zooming back out to the other stuff. And I agree with you. The key of that other stuff is educate, right? Is maybe some learning paths from chairman of the board to administrative staff of things they should probably know, things they should probably protect themselves on, right? And maybe, yeah, you should have a capability set for build that's making the tools available, doing demos. But what everybody tends to also forget is the use. Right? All of your core systems have AI functions embedded in it. Use those. Like those are just as valuable as you building an application. And then exactly how you said, well, then you've got to have the governance in place. That might just be policy. And you have to have a discussion of what you're willing to invest. Right? You're not going to blow twice as much as you're currently blowing in your BI team in this world. Right? Or maybe you are, but have the conversation, right? Zoom out so that you can see all of those things, because the reality is the chairman of the board is just looking for the check mark. The check mark doesn't have to come from this chatbot you created to dramatically change your customer journey. It could mean, you know, your ITSM tool, you're now, you know, you're better predicting what fixing that change management problem might look like. Like, well, that's okay too.
Well, and also we are at the experimentation phase. Knock off the ROI crap.
Right.
Knock it off. You're making an investment in the future. There is no ROI.
Right.
And every time you go, well, what's my ROI? And you actually answer in any way other than there is no ROI. Don't be dumb. You're setting yourself up for failure, because now what you're doing is you're backing yourself into a corner of where can I apply AI in such a way that I understand all of the pieces well enough to compute both the cost today, the cost over 3 years, and what my ROI is, and do a burn down chart to get to the point where I'm showing a return on that investment. It's not going to happen. By the time you computed the chart, the variables will change again. There will be a new model with a new price point and a new point with a new value that you're going to have to start all the testing all over again. So knock it off. Today you're at experimentation. If you require an ROI, you're not ready for it.
I said it's buying a house, it's buying a car, not buying a house, right? Like, figure out how much you're willing to spend and spend that, That's your investment, right? That's not your return. Sure. Your house is your return. Buy as big a house as you think that's going to grow, and that is part of your retirement. That's not what this is. What this is buying the car, right?
Well, you've also, like, you've also decided that you need, to live on a brand new discovered island in beachfront property. Cool. So you have the beachfront, and you've just dropped a mobile home in place.
That's a great.
Mobile home is going to degrade in value every day, every month, every week, while you figure out where's the right place to put the house. Where do I want the view? What are the rooms I need? How many people am I going to entertain? And start architecting a home.
Right.
Right. You're starting with a mobile home. That thing's not going to be worth more value. You're not getting an ROI from it. But you're doing that so you can build the correct house. If instead you just drop a house in, hey, guess what? We just built your house, and I'm sorry to tell you, but the water lines moved 8 feet. The first 25 feet of your house are completely underwater. I don't know what to tell you. It happened. That's just too bad. We're going to have to demo your house. Guess what? No ROI there either. Right? So we invest a little bit of money now and lose it to not lose large amounts of money later.
Right.
And I think companies are missing that. They're trying to, at least that J-curve conversation we constantly talked about at Hitachi, right? It's you cannot innovate without the J-curve.
Right.
Right? You're not going to hockey stick on innovation. You have to invest. So you're going to dip. You're going to take a little bit of money in the shorts. Just make it a small J. It doesn't have to be the biggest J in the world. Make a small J. Don't make it an Air Canada size J. Small J.
So are we having like a similar conversation like when cloud came out, that everybody to look that they were doing something, they needed to have like a cloud strategy or say that they have something?
I mean, yeah, we had some cloud washing, but that was also the problem. Right. The problem with cloud adoption, we're still facing the results of that initial cloud washing that we did. Right. We're still facing the, oh, crap, I didn't do anything. Oh, crap. Now I have to do everything. And oh, by the way, none of it's going to work because I never evolved. I just went, well, if you're going to force it, I'll just kick everything into the dump that the cloud then becomes. Right. And you're really just shifting your cost model to one that's far more expensive. And people are almost like doing it while flipping the bird. Well, I guess if you're going to make me. Well, no one needed to make you. You did need to recognize that this is a new operating model and a place you should exist as well. But you screwed around so long, now you're lost. And AI has done that, but it's done it at 100x the speed.
That's what I was thinking.
And we're still doing the same behaviors, right? We're still doing the... Well, I'm not going to do it. Well, I don't want to do it. Well, I'm not going to do it. Well, I don't want to do it. Well, I guess I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it really poorly.
Yeah. Cloud, for some, became the worst of all worlds, where it just became another address for their data center. They operated just like the data center. They made no changes to their actual operations model, but now it's way more expensive.
And it's expensive. And it's complex. And they didn't alter their security practices to take into consideration the complexity of the cloud and how it runs different. And so it's built like a single layer. It's built like a sieve, right? It's built like a piece of mesh screen. Why is this not so? Why are we constantly getting such weird traffic? Well, that's everybody. Like, that's China just owning your network. Like, like Jesus, people.
That's right. You were relatively anonymous in your own data center. Right. Now you were the target. Welcome to being the target.
And in some cases, it's so bad, no attacker believes it to be a real institution at first, because no one would put up a honeypot on purpose. Right? It looked like a honeypot. Like, no one would make these decisions on purpose. Well, sure, because we're just running it just like we ran it in the data center.
Right.
It's not the data center, buddy.
So I would say AI is slightly different in that one could argue the data center staff knew how to operate stacks, right? Where AI is either a completely different skill set they're not used to, or they chose to give it to the BI team to implement versus the software engineering team to implement. And therefore, not only did the BI team have a lack of skill set, they have no idea how to even define most of the terms, right? Because they think ML equals AI, when arguably ML is has BI uses, but it also has AI uses that are distinctly different than BI uses.
Well, right? technically ML is a subset of AI. AI is not a subset of ML. Also, your BI team has likely never used machine learning, but thinks any statistical modeling is machine learning because they were sold it that way by a vendor who also doesn't know the difference. Right? Like, we're back to that perversion of language thing that I think we've talked about for the whole life of this podcast. And so now, and generative AI isn't AI. It's a form of AI in the same way that ML is a form of AI. And yet all of that gets lumped together into one brick. And you go, cool, we'll go to the software development team. Software development team is not analytics people either. So they're not really the right place for it. The BI team couldn't be further away from analytics, right? That most of them are moderately fancy, not even highly fancy spreadsheet people.
Yeah.
Right? You didn't really develop your data science team, and they're always running around with their hair on fire because they don't have the ability to scale. It needs to be a practice built from the ground up to be a scalable, sustainable practice, not a shortcut thing that we threw over the fence so we can say, yes, we have AI. And if that's your goal, just be honest about it. Like, just internally, you don't have to tell the street that, but internally, just be honest about it. Look, guys, we just need to check a box. Can you put AI somewhere so we can say we're working with AI? Great. I'll put it somewhere where the risk is completely minimized. Like, there's all kinds of ways to do that. But you have to be honest about it so that you don't set yourself up for failure, and so you don't set your teams up for failure, because you're likely to set your teams up for failure if you go down that path incorrectly.
And the hyperscaler,
will the coffee machine count?
Sorry?
Absolutely. Will the coffee machine count so they can just check the box?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the coffee machine's a great place to put it.
Embedded right. Feature.
Yeah, just like we used to embed MP3 players into toasters, which is not a joke. There were actually toasters sold with embedded MP3 players.
Well, they are 3 minutes, right? So you got to listen to a song. I think hyperscalers are making this worse by showcasing a bunch of use cases, right? So I'll have a workshop with a customer, and we will whiteboard 400 use cases to which they've either read about or they have on their own. And you start to put them in buckets, and it becomes very clear that 350 of them are just dashboards, like barely analytics. And I guess you could put it under the analytics category, but it's not. Right. Then the next 30, are sort of classic machine learning, classification, segmentation, right? Regression testing. Not a lot of complexity, algorithms one could use out of the box, not a lot of tuning. Then you get down to the last 20, 15 are either not applicable to their business, or they don't have the appropriate data to train it, or it's just too big. Like it's a monster right. thing. There's no ROI, but they also don't have millions of dollars, right? So it's both of those things. So you narrow it down to 5 that actually is applicable, right? But it took hours to get to the point where you're going from this isn't really AI to these are the 5 that actually are AI. Let's try to do something there.
Right. Well, and then by the time it's all said and done, they're likely to also walk away going, oh, crap, do you think we can actually do one of those 5? Like, those sounded interesting, but do you think we can actually do it?
Right. We don't actually have the skill set, right. The tools, the,
right.
The.
Right. And 6 people from the customer walk out, and 4 of them look to the 2 that were making the decisions, and they go, you know, we really can't do that, right? like I get it, but you don't realize we don't actually have that capability in-house that you thought we had, so... Eventually we could do it. Do you want us to target to be able to do those 5? Like, I'll give you a plan on what I need to put in place before we can kick off those 5. Right. And that's kind of another part of the frustration, right? Is in order to do this stuff well, and in order to be a good consultant, a good advisor, mm-hmm. right? Customers also have to realize there's a responsibility on their side, and they kind of have to step up to the plate and go, cool, we're actually going to be realistic about this. We want an outcome. I don't want to throw good money after bad. In order to do that, we all have to be really transparent and really honest about where we are and what we're doing and what we want and what we expect and what our capabilities truly are, and then be willing to shore up our side. And if right. you just say, well, we'll just get the consultant to fill that in, you're going to end up in the same position because you can't pay a consultant forever. Sorry, you shouldn't pay a consultant forever. At some point, you should be expected to run that thing.
Right,
Yeah. And if all you've done is say, I'm just going to invest in consultants, nobody goes, hey, I'm going to give you $100 million a year forever, and you're just going to do this.
Right.
That's called outsourcing. And that's a different podcast altogether.
So if you were, if we narrow it down to the five, would you as a CIO, CTO attempt to learn, understand, implement it yourself? Or do you attempt to look at the ecosystem of partnerships and say, I need somebody to help me? And then if the answer is that, in what respect? What's the help?
I'm going to learn and understand myself. I am not going to attempt to implement myself, right? I'm going to learn and understand, and then I'm going to find someone that I can partner with that can help kind of shore up the pieces that I need, train my team, equip my team, tell me who I need to onboard so I can then run and own it myself. So that by the time the project ends, whether that's a 3-month project, a 3-year project, or a 5-year project, I'm owning and operating it myself. And let's be honest, with like today with AI, you should not be looking at more than a 3 or 6 or 9 month project.
Right.
If you're legitimately looking at an AI project and they're like, it's going to take 18 months. Don't even start it. Gen AI looks so different in 18 months. Why would you start that? In 16 months, it would probably go from an 18-month project to a 2-month project. Stop it.
Right.
It's going to change so fundamentally. Do things that you can get done in 3 or 6 months max.
Right. And know that it is highly likely to be replaced at some point in the future.
Right. Very soon. It's
some other tool.
Very soon.
Some other embedded feature of something you already have might have that. Like, you might make the mistake of building a code conversion tool for your awesome product and then find out it becomes a feature of the IDE.
Right.
In the next release.
Yeah. So, very, very quickly. The evolution is, we've never had technology evolution that is this fast ever in anything. And anyone that tells you anything different is trying to sell you something that they themselves don't understand. So seriously, be cautious. You can lose so much money and so much reputation this way. Please be cautious.
So, Paul, based on that comment, are those five projects very similar for multiple companies, even though when they're in different, let's call it verticals, or they are completely different from when you're talking to these executives or people when you have that conversation?
What I would say to a customer is they're unique. What the reality is that they're kind of enterprise search. They're kind of chat with your data, right?
That's what I thought.
And yes, they have different search sources and different data to which they're chatting with. But come on, it's close.
But that's also what you want.
Right.
Right. Like one of the questions I would ask, you get down to those five, one of the questions I would ask of the vendor before we even left the room is what should my expectation be around accelerators for those five use cases?
Right.
Do all five of them have accelerators? Does one of them have an accelerator? If I should expect it with one, which one?
Right.
Right. An accelerator is the 80th percentile is already done, and then you're just adding on the 20th for those who aren't familiar with that term.
Yeah.
Right. And ideally, those five probably have accelerators. Like, you probably should be able to expect 3, 4, or all 5 of them to have accelerators at whoever your partners are.
Right.
That is a good thing. Don't see that as a bad thing. This is AI. It is experimental. Dear God, follow in the footsteps of those that have come before. Don't think you need to be a snowflake. And I promise, you're not.
You don't have to DIY everything. You're not
a snowflake.
Do not build your own foundational model. This is not in your best interest.
Do not. Do not. You've done nothing. Then where you should be, the word you should be hearing the most is RAG.
Right. Exactly.
Like, is RAG a forever solution? Absolutely not. Is RAG an infinitely scalable solution? Absolutely not. Is it a solution for your first five projects? It absolutely is.
Correct. Be okay with the 20-year innovation of foundational model and then just ground it as appropriate.
Right.
Don't try to build your own. Or... Right. Attempt to even tune it yourself because you do not have the skill set to do so.
Plus, you don't know enough yet to even know what's good and bad, to even know what's effective and not effective, to even know what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. Start with RAG. Worry about your onboarding and offboarding steps. I wouldn't even spend a lot of time trying to figure out which is the best model for the use case. You can change a model out. Models are not impossible to change. They're not even hard to change anymore. And the expectation has to be that you will change the model because the advancements are changing so quickly.
Right.
Right? So worry much more about your onboarding and offboarding. How do I make sure that I'm getting the right information in and the right information out, and it matches my governance, and it doesn't increase my liability, and it reduces my risk, right? Like, make sure those things happen. Spend far more time there. Get RAG so you can work with your data, work with whatever model makes logical sense at the time, at the moment, but spend far more time on onboarding and offboarding the system, and you'll get a far, far better result, and you'll likely save a tremendous amount of money. And I promise you will know the point at which you must train a model, and you will know the point at which you must have your own, you must build your own model from scratch. You'll know. It won't be a question.
And that's a lot of build advice, but I really push embed, right? I really push get your chops, especially your prompt engineering chops, in the Tableau feature set, in the Einstein AI,
sure,
in Salesforce, in
sure,
Joule,
but
in SAP.
Sides, right? I think it's two sides. I think you have the educate your environment by using those things that are already embedded in your tools, so you can start to make that part of the language of your company.
Right.
Right. But then you also have the build things. And yes, and you need to do these things in parallel. You need to be educating your workforce in what AI can do, both good and bad, mm-hmm, both strengths and limitations, while at the same time, your build teams are starting down that path. And if you do that in concert, and so your goal is at the point at which my organization speaks AI and is comfortable with what it can and can't do, I want to release our first tool, then you'll actually give your teams enough time to do the design, to do the architecture, to do the learning and understanding necessary to make sure they don't do huge missteps that destroy trust inside and outside maybe your organization.
So the question is, should they be focusing on something external or something internal?
Absolutely not external.
Internal and internal only.
Please do not change your customer journey on something that's 67% good.
Or, I mean, 67 sounds a little higher than what I've seen in most companies.
That is a problem.
Right.
I always say this. In an enterprise setting, the answer is always 7. It's not sometimes 5, sometimes 6, and sometimes 7. It's always 7.
Yeah. Internal. Think about it for a minute, because there might be a choice of internal versus internal.
Right.
Until your 7th project, there is no external. And I mean 7, fully successful, fully tested, fully vetted, fully trusted implementations. Not we banged out 7, 6 low-hanging fruit, easy 4-user things, and then, right, hey, we're converting all of our help desk, all of our ticketing, all of our chat to AI. No. I mean, you're not paying me, so you're welcome to do that. You can do anything you want. I don't really care. But the reality of the situation is you need 7 successful heavy lifts and successfully heavier lifts. Like 2 should be twice the effort of 1. 3 should be twice the effort of 2, kind of thing.
Right.
Right. And then your 7th, you can talk about, do we want to do something external for the customer? And again, you'll know. Based on the success of the other 6, you'll know. And if there are people in the room that are like, I thought we'd only done 1. Well, then you haven't actually done 7.
And I honestly, I asked just one question. What's the cost of an incorrect answer? Because if that's measured in millions and tens of millions, internal use case sounds better.
Yeah. And probably not only the answer. What will the answer look to someone else?
Right.
Because you could say, like you said, is responding with the voice of Hulk Hogan and giving a wrong answer for the weather. How much is that affecting the credibility
of
the correct answers that actually come from that tool, that all that they have to do is just lock it down so it doesn't respond with that? But
that's why I said, like, onboarding and offboarding is where you're going to find your value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So what is the damage to you if you become the next internet meme?
Right.
Right. Because that's where it's going to go. right? Like, and how good are you at transparency? How good? Because I promise you switch to an AI bot the second someone finds out about it. Not only do you become the meme of the week, but now you become the, ooh, we didn't tell anybody we were using AI for this. Now everybody knows we're using AI for this. Do they still trust us?
Right. And then you become a target of testing.
Correct.
People will now go to you to see the limits of this implementation.
Yeah.
That's true.
And God forbid you laid off your help desk team, or God forbid you laid off your CS team, or rapidly downsized, and you're operating at 10% of what you did before, because you will turn off that AI bot.
Right.
You just turn it off, because that's the only opportunity. There is no other option. And now you have 10% of the people that were necessary to deal with the load that you actually have, or that you actually had hired before, which were still only about 70% of the people that you needed to deal with the load that you had.
Right.
And, oh, by the way, all of them are mad.
Right.
Because you betrayed their trust.
Yep, of course.
Right? So really, again, 7 internal projects that are large enough that every stakeholder in the room, when you're talking about the external one, has heard of all 7 and is happy about all 7.
Right. Yeah.
Well, all right, Carlos, I think...
That was a healthy conversation.
You know, that was a good... And I think that the whole idea of zooming out... Like you said, sometimes we get so deep because someone is saying, oh, we need to do it so we can compete against them. And you haven't realized that, hey, your data may not be ready, or your processes are not ready, or you're taking the wrong approach. Like, you're thinking about putting that bot outside when you need to start with something smaller inside so your team get comfortable, so you start realizing what you have to do. Make sure that you actually... get experts, not someone that tell you, like, buy this little widget and it will solve your problems. Because I'm the only one on the internet that have the answer, like they said. So, my friends, make sure that you share, you subscribe, and we'll see you on our next episode.